Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this very special episode of Hooked on Sport. Ben Hook with you, with me as usual, Sophie Hilditch. Soph, g'day.
Hey, Ben, how are you going? Very excited for who you're about to introduce.
I've called this a special episode of Hooked on Sport, but it is more like an extraordinary episode because we have an extraordinary guest about to attempt an extraordinary feat, running the breadth of Australia from Cottesloe to Bondi. It is something that I cannot even conjure, let alone imagine that I'm talking to someone who is absolutely considering it. Most people would know him as Eddie the Frenchman in the ultra running community. Eddie Chigik has been good enough to join us. Eddie, thank you so much for your time and welcome to Hooked on Sport.
Well, thanks for having me. Thank you. What an intro.
Eddie, what made you think it would be a good idea to attempt to run? I mean, we think about running around the block for some people. Running a marathon is an extraordinary feat, and here you are planning to run the 3,000 kilometres across Australia. Why did you come up with this as a concept?
Yeah, look, I've been running long distances for the best part of 18 years now. So, and that came into the picture when obviously Ned Brockman, most people have heard of Ned Brockman, and I didn't really think about it until I saw him do the crossing, and I thought to myself, planted a seed, I guess, at that point. I'd been doing all sorts of ultra-marathon running beforehand. I had done some triathlon, Ironman, long-distance triathlon, and I always enjoyed pushing myself in a lot of different disciplines, so that came sort of, I wouldn't say naturally, but it was a very appealing challenge to see what I was made of. So, you sort of, when you go through the sport, you sort of evolve and we all started sort of parkrun sort of distance, and then you sort of evolve and your perspective changes along the way. And yeah, I just thought running across a country, obviously I live in Australia, so it was to be Australia just for logistics purposes, but that's how it all started, and then obviously from the idea became more of a plan, and now I'm doing it next year, so very exciting.
The plan is August 8. It's an incredible thought process to go from ultra running 100-mile type runs. I mean, they are extraordinary in their own right, but to decide, I'll do 3,000 kilometres. That is something else, mate.
Yeah. So first of all, it's 4,000 Ks. I wish it was 3,000. That sounds... Look, the thing is, as I said, you go through... I started with the Adelaide City 2-Bay Fun Run, right? And at the time, I thought 12 Ks just seemed like such a big distance. and it was very daunting. And then, you cover 12 Ks and then you go... 30, and then you go 50, then you go 100, then you go a miler, which is 160 plus, and then you go backyard ultra, which is whatever you want it to be, and so on and so forth. And so, not everyone, but I guess you can keep going up and up and up, and multi-day, crossing Australia is expedition running essentially, because it's a pretty big distance day after day for quite a long time, and so that, to me, it was a very palatable challenge to sink my teeth in. When you put the plan together and you look at all the logistics and everything that goes around the actual run, obviously it's you get days where you're just wondering why you've put yourself in that space. But most of the time it's pretty exciting. I think next year, from January next year, it's going to start to accelerate quite drastically, and as I said, the logistic, there's just the logistic of it is a bit of a nightmare too, if I'm honest with you, and not something I was necessarily thinking about or fully grasping a few months ago, in fact.
So what is the game plan? Like, I can't even start to imagine how you're going to break up 4,000 kilometers. How many days are you planning on taking? How many kilometers per day?
So the current record that has been ratified is held by a guy called Chris Turnbull, who lives in Sydney. He's done it in 39 days and 8 hours. So if I want to beat this, it's essentially more or less 104, 105 Ks a day for 38 days. You're only looking at it day by day, really. I mean, you know, if you look at 4,000 Ks, I think nobody can really grasp that amount of, you know, that sort of distance. So, and even day to day, you sort of break it down pretty, you know, in small bits and pieces. So you may, whatever works for you, you know, you may cut it in, say, two marathons, and then you've got a half marathon to finish that off type thing. So, but yeah, you have to break it down. There's just no other way.
There's a charity component to this, Eddie. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm backing Red Kite. It's an association that works with parents going through childhood cancer. So I had to think about it when the first aim really is the record. Mm-hmm. And that was always the thing. And then I thought, well, it's probably going to make some noise in terms of media and, you know, attention. So I may as well raise, you know, money for a cause. And I'm touching wood. We're lucky enough to, you know, not really have any issue in our family. So, but having said that, I've got two young kids and we have been to the emergencies and we have been to hospital overnight. And, you know, you see some kids that are in the kids' ward that are, you can tell they're not just there overnight. And as a parent, that really impacts me. So, you know, I wanted to back an association that, you know, do some good work in terms of parents that are going through the nightmare of having their kids that are sick. So, yeah.
We'll talk about your website, Frenchman on the Run. We'll give it a plug very shortly. But I just had a quick look at the sponsors. One of them is SportsMed, and I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, it's, you know, like, so SportsMed came in fairly early on, which was brilliant. And they've been absolutely tremendous with me. So obviously they do all the rehab and, you know, they've got doctors and podiatrists and physios, and, but they also have, you know, they've got a good gym over there that I'm using twice a week. And so, yeah, I've got a good team in terms of physio, podiatrist, doctor, and just strength and conditioning coach as well. So that's been tremendous. So, and look, the thing is, when you're covering 4,000 K, something will happen. Something will just go wrong. So it's pretty important to have a doctor that I can call, or some professional that I can talk to that can, you know, I can see whether the issue is, I guess, potentially going to be serious, or just can keep going on it and hope for the best.
Yeah, I can imagine you have a huge team that's behind you and backing you the whole way. Can you just explain what goes into the training? Like, this is huge, 4,000 Ks. I know Ben's just done a marathon and there was some huge training involved, but yeah, that was nowhere near 4,000 Ks.
Yeah, well, the thing with running is there's a point of, I guess, no return, or a point of diminishing return anyway. So, you know, mm-hmm. It's not like cycling where you could cycle all day, every day if you wanted to. And you gain from it in terms of running. You know, there's a point of diminishing return. So a lot of runners, including myself, I've been running for, so I've done my first 100K ultra marathon in 2011. So, you know, it's been 14 years, and I've done some longer distance as well before that. So it's been a while coming. So it's, I always say it's 18 years of prep and a year and a half of fine tuning the machine for this. So there's quite a bit of experience in the body in terms of, you know, the tendons and ligaments and everything else. But yeah, there's, I mean, the volume that goes into training is pretty, it's out there, I guess. Yeah. I think you lose perspective. I've certainly have lost perspective in terms of what is normal and what's not in terms of my running and things like that. So, and it's when I talk to people that are not necessarily in this game, because you surround yourself with a little bubble of people that's what they do. Like, I remember riding with a bunch of triathletes and I told them what I was planning to do. And, you know, they were like, yeah, that sounds good, sort of thing. Do you see what I mean? Like, they're not, this is amazing. This is just nuts. So it's, yeah. So when you're in that bubble, it's good to know people outside of that bubble so you can come back to earth every now and then.
Yeah, we are all firmly in the you are nuts category at Hooked on Sport, Eddie. We first met a couple of years ago, Eddie, and you might just want to retell the story. It was because I stumbled across the image that one of the Ultra Runners Club had put up of your Strava runs, which featured going through every street, road, avenue, lane, cul-de-sac, you name it, of the entire city of Adelaide. Yeah. There's a lot of doubling up and back. The Strava picture, which with your permission, we will put up on our socials if you're happy with that, quite a remarkable thing, about 138 kilometres, and you did it to celebrate a birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, look, I saw there was a professional runner that did all the streets of San Francisco, and San Francisco is much bigger, by the way. It was a multi-day challenge, and then I thought to myself, I wonder, because you look at the CBD, it's a pretty nice rectangle, so it's, you know, fairly easy to follow, and I wondered how big our CBD was. And I went for a training run, so I did a quarter of it, and I didn't think much of it. I didn't think I was going to run a whole lot, and I ended up with 40K, so 4x40s, 160Ks. So I was blown away. But, you know, as you said, there's that many little alleyway and cul-de-sac, and it's especially the east side's a rabbit hole. It was a nightmare to cover. So I decided to do that in one go to celebrate my 40th. In fact, it was the day after I turned 40. And that was brilliant. That was, you know, it was really good. And arguably, I've got one of the best Strava map in Adelaide, I reckon.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. I don't think most people are celebrating their 40th by running that. It's not how I celebrate my birthdays, but it's absolutely incredible, amazing.
Yeah, that was good.
So what was your actual first run ever? Was it the City to Bay or was it something else?
Yeah, it was City to Bay. I used to be a pretty, I'm French, so I used to be a pretty, I mean, I'm going to generalize here, but I used to smoke a pack a day, right? that was probably 20 something years ago. So, and then I decided to stop and I picked up running, which was super hard. And then, City to Bay was popping up and I thought, why not? And as I said to you, like 12K was just unfathomable for me at the time. And I guess I've got a bit of an obsessive nature. So, once I'd done that, it was, it gives you quite a bit. I mean, Ben, you can probably agree with me on this one. You know, you do your marathon, it's hard, but what it gives you is just incredible. You know, the sense of achievement and just having prepared for it and having done the race, and it really gives you something. And then the rest was I don't know, it's quite transformational to go through pain and suffering, but you get to the other side of it and how much you can then translate into your normal life, or whether it's work or like any sort of issues that you have outside of your running. It really pushes you, well, I suppose, beyond what your brain, because, our brain is wired to sort of protect us and preserve us, and it doesn't want you to go and run 100K or even a marathon, so it's, you're talking about cramp, and you probably were tired and getting cramp, Ben, towards the 32Ks or thereabouts, but I reckon your brain was trying to, get you to stop and just to preserve you and protect you. That's what it does. So yeah, it's good to push yourself beyond this. That's really what I found.
All I'll say is I'm embarrassed to talk about my marathon while I'm talking to you, Eddie. What does a week of training look like for you? And let's talk about some of your heavier workloads. Two-part question here. And do you have a job? And you've talked about your kids. You obviously have a family as well. How do you fit everything in?
Very early mornings. Let's rephrase. I'm going to start with saying I've got a very, very, very understanding wife. I couldn't do it without. It would be impossible. Because as much as I get up very early and I try to get the training out of the way, and I've got a full-time job, so obviously I've got to do this as well. So, it's still, when you have to do a 50K run, for instance, it's the best part of 4 to 5 hours. So it doesn't matter how, even if you start at 4, you finish at 9 or thereabouts. So, it still impacts your day, I guess, on the weekend. On top of when you finish those big runs, you're not entirely fresh. So, it's not like you let's go to the park and kick the footy. So you don't feel like that. So there's the recovery aspect of it. And there's a lot going on outside of running, if you like, in terms of recovery and the things you got to do to keep your body free of injury and as fresh as possible, I guess. I do have a job. I do have two kids. I do have a very understanding wife. So it's, yeah, there's a lot to it.
So going from Cottesloe to Bondi, do you have like an, please tell me you have an entourage following you. Like, what is the team? I'm picturing like Forrest Gump almost running across Australia right now.
No. So, I mean, yeah, I looked at doing it solo, but it's pretty, it's pretty tricky, especially in WA, right? Once you're in SA, Victoria, New South Wales, you hit towns quite often. So, so it's a bit more, it's more feasible, but yeah, WA is tricky. So look, I'm trying to convince, I need three core crews. I'm trying to convince three grown up adults to quit their job for 40 days to follow some random guy running on the side of the road. So it's work in progress at this point in time. But look, ideally I've got three people with me in two different vehicles so they can do different things. One of the three will be with me a lot, like meet me along the way quite often so I can get something to drink and something to eat, you know, with me so I don't carry huge amounts with me. And then the others can do, you know, laundry and just the logistics around this and setting up camp or, you know, whatever it is they need to do at night so that, because the only thing I cannot do anything else but just run and concentrate on running. So even when I get, so I did a 3-day test in the mid-north, for instance, and we weren't set up like I'm going to be set up for next year. And so we were two of us, sorry, there was two crews with me. I was doing 300 Ks in 3 days. So it was like a mini version, I guess. And you know, for instance, I got up in the morning and I had to cook my own breakfast and like as in prepare my own breakfast. Mm-hmm. And there's that many other things I need to do. Even this little step of having to prepare my own breakfast was annoying and was disturbing and was just, yeah, so I can't have this when I do the run. Like everything needs to be done for you realistically. And all you have to do and concentrate on is just running and moving.
It sounds like Sophie, the way she plays golf, she just expects everyone to do everything else for her until she arrives on the first tee, dad, the caddy. Eddie, we're just talking about all of these just mind-blowing things that you do. Are there some things that you've seen other people do that you think, wow, that is something really just out there?
Yeah, definitely. Look, there's the first thing I'm going to say, there's always going to be someone doing something bigger or faster than you, so you cannot look at it like that. So for instance, a good friend of mine finished a marathon and she was disappointed with her time, and that's what I told her. There's always going to be someone doing something better or the same thing faster or bigger or whatever. So that's the first thing, I guess. But yeah, there's always more. I mean, I've climbed, I got into running because I got into mountain climbing, and obviously Adelaide's not the best spot to train for a big climb, so running became the thing to keep me fit. And so mountain, I mean, there's a lot of you know, climbers that I really admire, and you know, in terms of what they do and things like that. Running probably less. I mean, you know, obviously it's inspiring to see the time that they do the marathons in and that type of thing, or even to see you know, people crossing Australia or doing some big things like that. You know, it takes a lot, and you don't realize until you're doing it. And just to illustrate this, so my running coach got me to do that test for 3 days, and there was a very specific reason. It wasn't to try and see whether I was ready to do 300 Ks in 3 days. That was not the point. The point of this was, you're going to, and he told me that afterwards, that you're going to learn, sorry, he told me that beforehand, you're going to learn a lot just by being out there and doing this for 3 days. And indeed, I did learn a lot. And that gave me a lot of respect for, and doesn't matter how many days they take, anyone that crosses Australia, like, you know, doing day after day after day of running, and it's just so repetitive. And especially Australia is a beautiful country, but a lot of the landscapes that you see, they're beautiful for maybe 5 minutes. But when you see the same landscape for hours on end, it's just a straight road and it's a white line. It really, like mentally, it's really, really hard. And so that really gave me an appreciation for anyone doing, you know, transcontinental runs, I guess, whether it's in Australia or the US or Europe or,
3,900 kilometers. What am I just looking at here? 38 days, 104 kilometers per day. Eddie, just tell us about your website, Frenchman on the Run, and how people can maybe support you in your mission.
Yeah, so well, Frenchmanontherun.com. There's obviously there's a donation button there. Obviously, it goes straight to Red Kite. They're doing incredible work. It's and I'm talking about it secondhand. I have a friend that's unfortunately had to benefit from their help, and she said how amazing it was. You know, at the time when especially when you go through hell of hearing that your kids got cancer. So, and as I said, you know, it only takes 100,000 people to give me $10, or give Red Kite $10, and you know, we had a million already. So that, you know, it'd be great to reach that milestone, and obviously if they want to follow the run, besides obviously Red Kite, you know, Frenchmanontherun.com. I've got on Instagram you can find me as well, Frenchman on the Run, and Facebook as well. So, it's going to be exciting. We're going to have a lot of coverage, and yeah, it's going to be good.
Well, Eddie, it's amazing for us to have the opportunity to talk through it and just conjure it in our own minds how this is all going to play out. It's great to hear someone just talk about 3,900 kilometres of running across Australia as if it's, I don't know, peeling a banana and maybe cutting up an apple as well. Mate, we'd love to follow you over the course of the next 10 months as you prepare. And obviously, when you make it into Sydney, we'll be very keen to follow and support you. It's FrenchmanOnTheRun.com. We'd love all of our listeners to get in and support Eddie and support his cause, which is Red Kite, who do amazing things for families facing childhood cancer. Eddie, thank you so much for your time, and we wish you all the very best as the preparation continues.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Sophie.